Dr. Adrian by Louis Couperos. Translator's note: Dr. Adrian is the fourth and last of the volumes forming the Books of the Small Souls. In it, the reader renews his acquaintance with all the characters that survive from Small Souls, The Later Life, and The Twilight of the Souls. Chapter 1. The afternoon sky was full of thick, dark clouds, drifting ponderously grey over almost black violet. Clouds so dark, heavy and thick, that they seemed to creep laboriously upon the east wind, for all that it was blowing hard. In its breath, the clouds now and again changed their watery outline before their time came to pour down in heavy, straight streaks of rain. The stiff pine woods quivered, erect and anxious, along the road. The tops of the trees lost themselves in a silver-grey air, hardly lighter than the clouds, and dissolving far and wide under all that massive grey-violet and purple-black which seemed so close and low. The road ran near and went winding past, lonely, deserted and sad. It was as though it came winding out of low horizons and went on towards low horizons, dipping humbly under very low skies, and only the pine trees still stood up, pointed proud and straight, when everything else was stooping. The modest villa residence, the smaller poor dwellings here and there, stooped under the heavy sky and the gusty wind. The shrubs dipped along the roadside, and the few people who went along, an old gentleman, a peasant woman, two poor children carrying a basket, and followed by a melancholy, big, rough-coated dog, seemed to hang their heads low under the solemn weight of the clouds and the fierce mastery of the wind, which had months ago blown the smile from the now humble, frowning, pensive landscape. The soul of that landscape appeared small and all forlorn in the watery mists of the dreary winter. The wind came howling along, chill and cold, like an angry spite that was all mouth and breath. And Adelicha, hanging on her aunt's arm, huddled into herself, for the wind blew chill in her sleeves and on her back.
"Are you cold, dear?"
"No, auntie,"
said Adelicha, softly, shivering. Constance smiled and pressed Adelicha's arm close to her.
"Let's walk a little faster, dear. It'll warm you. And besides, I'm afraid it's going to rain. It's quite a long way to the old lady's and back again. I fear I've tired you."
"No, auntie.
You see, I didn't want to take the carriage. This way, we do the thing by ourselves, and otherwise everybody would know of it at once, and you must promise me not to talk about it."
"No, auntie, I won't."
"Not to anybody, otherwise there'll be all sorts of remarks, and it's no concern of other people's what we do."
"The poor old thing was very happy, auntie. The beef tea and the wine and chicken. Poor little old woman. And so well-mannered, and so discreet. Auntie, will Addy be back soon? He's sure to telegraph. It's very nice of him to take such pains for Alex. We all of us give Addy a lot of trouble. When do you think he'll come back?"
"I don't know. Tomorrow, or the next day.
Auntie, you've been very fidgety lately."
"My dear, I haven't."
"Yes, you have. Tell me, has anything happened with Matilda? Has there?"
"No, child. But do keep your little mouth shut now. I'm frightened. The wind's so cold."
They walked on in silence, Adelicha accommodating her step by Aunt Constance's regular pace. Constance was a good walker, and Addy always said that, leading the outdoor life she did, Mama grew no older. They had now been living for 10 years at Driebergen, in the big, old, gloomy house, which seemed to be lighted only by themselves, by their affection for one another, but which Constance had never brought herself to like, hard though she tried.
10 years! How often, oh, how often she saw them speed before her in retrospect! 10 years! Was it really 10 years? How quickly they had passed!